This is Remarkable. Welcome to Remarkable, a marketing podcast for podcasters who aren't marketers. I'm your host and teacher, Dave Mooring, and I want to know what it takes to stand out, get noticed, and build a committed audience of listeners and fans. I'm on a quest to find out what makes a podcast remarkable. And I invite you to join me each week as I interview other podcasters, experts, and marketers. The Remarkable Podcast is part of the Super Simple Podcast Network. If you'd like additional marketing resources, early access to my free podcast marketing course, and to be notified when I release future episodes, head on over to theremarkablepodcast.com. This is episode number 5. In this week's episode of Remarkable, I have a chat with a young Australian entrepreneur who built a mini media empire in less than 3 years. He's the founder, editor-in-chief, and publisher of a digital magazine for entrepreneurs, a podcaster, and a marketing expert who has mastered Instagram to amass a following of over 500,000. His list of interviewees is impressive and includes Richard Branson, Tony Robbins, Damon John, Deepak Chopra, and Arianna Huffington. You'll learn how he got started and built a world-class magazine and get to hear his tips for building an audience. You'll also hear his thoughts on powering through when he's nervous about big interviews, his secret to getting great guests, and the number one tool he uses to build his business. Here's the founder of Founder Magazine, Nathan Chan. Nathan, welcome to Remarkable.
Thank you so much for having me, Dave. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Oh, no, the pleasure's all mine. I'm very grateful that you took time to speak with me. I know you've got a busy schedule, and as I mentioned before we started recording, that I think I see your name everywhere now, so you've got to be working around the clock.
Yeah, look, I'm working hard, dude, but you know what? I think we're all busy. Yeah. I don't really like that word, busy.
Yeah, productive or effective is a much, much better target, I guess.
Yeah.
For those that are listening that don't know you, that might operate in a different space, a lot of my listeners are not in the business or marketing world. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, sure thing, man. So March 5th, 2013, I started this company. It was just a magazine at the time. It was called Founder. And it's a digital magazine in the App Store, Google Play Store, targeting young aspiring entrepreneurs, early stage startup founders, novice entrepreneurs. And it's for mobile and tablet devices. The reason I started it was because I identified that there wasn't really any business magazines out there that an aspiring or novice stage entrepreneur like myself could relate to. And I started while I was working my full-time job. And, you know, the reason I started it was, honestly, when I first started, it was just to make money. I wanted to build a lifestyle business. But I quickly realized that the amount of, you know, money you make is in proportion to how well you serve your community. And I actually just fell in love with the whole process. I was kind of curious about the entrepreneurship scene and startup scene, but then I fell in love with it. And I became really passionate about the work that I do, and I fell in love with the process. And the rest is kind of history, man. Like, we've gone on now to be not just a magazine, but a multifaceted, you could say, media brand, you know, entrepreneurial platform, you could say whatever. But, you know, we've got a podcast, we've got social channel, the high traffic social channels, we've got a blog that we regularly contribute to that's starting to get a lot of traction. We've got a podcast, I think I mentioned that. We're starting to move into trading products as well. So yeah, we've got quite a bit going on now, but humble beginnings. I found it was just a magazine.
And so you were basically looking to start a product that really filled a need that you had, right? I mean, you didn't see the magazine out there that was giving you the information that you wanted. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. And I knew podcasts were really hot, like not as hot as they are now, but I thought it would be a cool way to learn myself too, you know?
Yeah.
A new interview series for, you know, doing interviewing entrepreneurs, it was the same, like kind of similar format, you know? Like you do interviews, but you instead of just publishing them in audio format, you publish them in written format. Plus you have some, you know, valuable content. But essentially, yeah, it's you know, it's still just valuable content.
Yeah, and so when you started the magazine, you hadn't started the podcast, correct?
Correct.
And so you were just sending them written interviews, or were you doing the interviews over the phone and taking notes and then publishing the information? How were you getting the information from the people that, that you featured on the cover?
Yeah, so I do Skype interviews, actually, if I could. Otherwise, I do written interviews. Like, mm-hmm. for example, the one with Richard Branson, that was just a Q&A written interview. But majority, like 95% of our interviews are conducted via Skype, and they're edited and then placed inside the magazine. And then with that audio interview, we turn that into a feature article. So we have a feature writer that that crafts out a feature on that article and for that article. And yeah, we only started our podcast about 11 months ago.
Yeah, what led to that? What was it, just that you were interested in learning about podcasting, or did you see that you already had these contacts and these interviews, you might as well publish it?
Yeah, more the latter. More the latter. I think, like, I wish I started sooner, to be honest with you, Dave. Like, we were just sitting on there, all these epic, amazing interviews, and I thought, dude, I'm doing a disservice to not only our community but the world by not having a podcast. And I'll tell you what, it was the best thing I ever did. You know, our podcast is really starting to get some legs. Sometimes it's like one of the top business podcasts, like top one in like at least the top 100 business podcasts in the US. And, you know, it's just that slow, consistent grind. And we're very, very consistent, publish every single week. We'll never stop. And, you know, to be honest with you, Dave, I don't really push it that hard. I just kind of let our content do the work. And the one thing I do is, I just try and get epic guests and try and get hard-to-reach people and try and get, you know, really interesting guests and try and just produce really, really valuable interviews that people can take a lot from. And I think that's, you know, kind of holding us in good stead, because I think word of mouth is working to a certain amount. We probably could do a better job of pushing it, but we do mail it out every week, and that definitely helps. And we've got an email database now of over 100,000.
That's great.
That definitely is helping now that we mail it out. We've only been doing that for about 3 months. But just getting as many reviews as you can, just producing great work, we don't really do any promotions otherwise.
Yeah, I want to talk to you a little bit more about the podcast, but let me take one step backward. So when you first launched the magazine, how did you get readership? How did you go about, what did you just let Apple do the marketing for you because it showed up on the newsstand, or did you actively start letting people know about it?
Yeah, when I first started the magazine, marketing's my real passion piece, man. Like, I love marketing.
That's great.
And I love business building and stuff like that too. And I love the work we do. But don't get me wrong, I love marketing. Like, I'm very passionate about it, and I find it so much fun. And I didn't know, like, I never marketed a product before, right? And I didn't know what I could do to get readership. All I knew was that I had to launch. And when I launched, we had 2 readers. We made $5. We had 70 downloads. And I was like, oh, well, this is amazing, you know?
Yeah.
People are prepared to spend their cold, hard cash for something that I've created with my own 2 hands. And it just kind of, knowing that, you know, we launched, knowing that People were paying, you know, in the first month, I think we made around $80. You know, people, knowing that people were paying us every single month to receive a monthly magazine, that kept me moving and kept me shipping. And I'd always, you know, still to this day, we haven't missed a shipping deadline. Like, since the start, you know, now we've produced 32 issues, but like every month. And so it's been 32 months we've been in business. Yeah, that's great. We've produced actually a lot more issues than that, like bonus issues and stuff. But yeah, 32, you know, we just did US launch issue 32. So to answer your question, I think the way I did it was I was like, well, what's the lowest hanging fruit? And that's kind of how I try and approach all of our marketing. It's like something that one of my mentors told me, Ed Dale, was like, where's the starving crowd? So I kind of worked out that if I could use App Store optimization, that would be our biggest, you know, lowest hanging fruit possible, because there were people with the kind of devices that we were on, because when we launched, we weren't on Android. We were only on Apple.
Right.
And we actually weren't even on iPhones. We were only on iPads. And like, you know, I realized that if I wanted to find people on iPads, they were already searching for apps in the App Store. All I had to do was rank for those keywords. So I got very good at, I guess, making sure that we could rank for certain keywords. You know, if you type in Entrepreneur Magazine right now, Founder will come up right next to it. Same with Fast Company, Forbes, and, you know, doing little tactics like that has allowed us to get a lot of readers in the early days. And that was one of the biggest things that I did. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And as you said, the two things that I've already taken away that I think my audience can learn from is just the quality of your guest and the consistency of making sure that you're always there. That's huge. And yeah, I admire the fact that you filled a need or found a niche that wasn't being met early on, instead of just trying to be another Inc. magazine or entrepreneur.com.
Yeah, I think that's where it's at. Like, you don't want to build a me too company.
Yeah, I totally
agree. And I think just even from just like a creativity standpoint, like I think I'm quite creative in some ways.
Yeah.
And you know, you just want your own outlet where you can say, yeah, we've done some cool stuff for our audience and this has been a ton of fun. You don't want to be like, I've done some cool stuff for my audience and I've ripped off exactly what that guy looks like. And I have no, like, I have no appreciation for my work because it looks like it's exactly like someone else's, you know?
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. There have been people that, you know, or work that has inspired me, and I've taken a little piece of that and be like, yeah, that's amazing. I want to take a piece of that. And then someone else's stuff, yeah, that's amazing. Let's take a little piece of that or do this. And then it becomes your own as well. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing, I don't think there's anything wrong with copying, but I think there's a massive problem when it's so obvious that, you know, there's no differentiation. And you know, when you do, you know, because essentially, like, a lot of the stuff that everyone does in the entrepreneurial niche, it's some of the stuff is the same stuff packaged up totally different. So you want to make it your own. You want to have your own little bits and pieces to make it your own. I think that's really important.
Yeah, and a lot of times I think you start off by mimicking or copying the things that you admire, but then over time you realize what you can do to put your own unique spin on them.
Yeah, that's it.
What was the scariest thing about starting? Were you afraid of reaching out to some of the big names? I know I've heard you talk about reaching out to Richard Branson, and you've had some really, you know, well-known people in your magazine. Has it been scary reaching out to those people? Have you been nervous and connecting with them and interviewing them, especially the people over Skype?
Yeah. I've been massively nervous, bro.
Did you just keep pushing forward, or have you overcome that?
You know, the biggest thing that pushes me, even still to this day, dude, is that we have paid readers, and we've got to produce epic content, and we've got,
yeah, you don't have a choice.
yeah, like, especially now that we've set this standard, you know, dude, it's one thing to, you know, kick some goals, and then it's another thing to keep kicking those goals.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've had so many amazing guests on our podcast in the magazine. Now I've got to keep doing that, dude. So, you know, even to this day, I am scared or I am nervous or whatever. But, dude, I just got to keep grinding. I got to keep, you know, keeping these expectations. So the only way I can do that now is just to be super, super organized and pitch like, you know, 6 to 12 months in advance. So we've tentatively booked out our magazine covers until June next year.
Oh, that's great.
And I'm still pitching flat out. Like, Oprah's coming to Australia, and I've pitched her team before because they came to me, in fact, around interviewing Deepak Chopra, and they kind of like said that to interview her, and it didn't work out when we just interviewed Deepak. And I pitched them before to interview Oprah, and like, you know, I'm sure I'll pitch them again. And you know, I'm always pitching, dude, and just working in advance to get these epic podcast interviews, to get these amazing stories for the magazine. It's safe to say that up until June, you know, we've got some amazing entrepreneurs coming and really, really hard to reach founders, some super, super successful entrepreneurs a lot of people might not be able to get in touch with because their time is so extremely valuable. And we've kind of set that standard. So it's one thing to set that, it's another thing to keep it. But especially in the early days, dude, I'd be so nervous. Even most recently, like, I was so nervous speaking to Tony Robbins, man. To be honest with you, I was doing so much research. At one point, I was just like, you know, I was kind of thinking, you know, when you're so nervous about something, you just can't wait until it's over.
Yeah. You just want the relief.
Yeah, that's what it was a little bit like. Interviewing Tony, man, to be honest with you. And I don't know why I thought that, because it was just such an amazing experience. And he was a fantastic interview. And I encourage anyone listening to this to listen to the Tony Robbins interview just on our podcast. But yeah, I was super nervous, and this is only, you know, 6 months ago. And it took three times to get in touch with him. So you can imagine it dragged out a bit.
Yeah.
Still to this day am super nervous, but you just got to push your comfort zone. That's so important. So important to be able to push your comfort zone.
And since you're interviewing them and recording them now, and you're not just putting the text out, but you're putting the recording through your podcast. Have you had any training, or have you had any coaching or consulting on interviewing and, you know, asking the right questions, or how have you prepared yourself to interview, you know, let's say Tony Robbins or any like Seth Godin or Tim Ferriss? Have you prepped for those, or have you just kind of learned as you've gone along?
I've just learned as I've gone along, man, to be honest, and just spoken to friends and listened. So I try to taught myself. I listen to interviewers that I love, and definitely pick up bits and pieces and study and analyze how they do their thing. And just worked it out along the way. I think, you know, the best way to become a great interviewer, and I certainly don't think I am you know, an amazing interview, but I'm not too bad, is to just keep doing a ton of interviews, you know?
Yeah. And it sounds to me like, I think some of your success has come just, you're inquisitive, or you're curious. You want to interview these people. That sounds like it started from day one that you want to get their insight. So you're passionate about learning from them, right?
Yeah, dude. I've always been very clear, from the start. I'm on the ground with in the trenches with everyone in our community. And I always want it to be like that. Like, I'm always just trying to find out what's working. And that's kind of been the ethos from the beginning, that we're here to help. entrepreneurs need help, and you know, we're here to find out what it takes to become a successful entrepreneur, and then come along for the journey. Yeah, it's kind of always been like that, Dave, and probably always will. I think because, you know, there's no one time when you hit like a – I don't think that you hit a status where you just know everything about entrepreneurship.
I think you can. No, you're always learning, right?
Yeah, that's right. And, yeah, I love learning. I'm very – yeah, it's just so much fun. So, yeah.
Do you have any idea – is your podcast audience the same as your magazine readership, or do you think they might be two different audiences with some overlap? Any idea?
That's a really great question. I'm to be honest with you, I can't confidently answer it, but I can tell you this, that I was just going to say, like, our audio interviews we've always put inside the magazine. Okay.
Yep.
So I've always edited those audio interviews and put inside the magazine. And then about a year ago, we've, you know, taken our best ones, put them in the podcast. And now, yeah, we have a podcast, and we actually have some interviews that are specifically for the podcast. And we've always had some interviews that we hold back specifically for the magazine. So we mix and match it.
Right.
And what I found was the podcast was a brilliant way to complement the magazine, because some people – I prefer to listen to podcasts, and then some people prefer to read a magazine and read, you know, a themed issue packaged up, and you know, they love reading magazines. So I think what I've realized is there's different ways to touch our audience collectively across many different platforms and mediums. One way is for email. There'll be some people on our email list that may not even listen to the podcast or read the magazine, but they might just read our blog content. And then there's some people in our audience that only listen to our podcast and aren't on our email list and don't read the magazine. But then there's some people that read the magazine that aren't on any of those other two that I just mentioned. And then there's some people that listen to our podcast, that read our magazine, and that are on our email newsletter, and they love our content. And then there's, you know, there's some people that follow us on Instagram or one of our social channels that, you know, don't follow us on any of our other channels. So there is definite overlap. And you know, there's just, you know, we live in such a noisy world that attention is difficult. And I guess, yeah, we have little tribes or communities in many different ways or on many different platforms.
Do you have, does any one of those platforms lead the way as far as, you know, in marketing, we talk a lot about a funnel. Do you focus on promoting either the podcast and then that leads to the magazine, or your blog and social media and that leads to the podcast that then leads to the magazine? Or do you have one that you focus on, or are you always pushing all of those equally?
Yeah. So look, when the magazine comes out, new issue, always got to push it, right?
Right.
When a new podcast episode comes out, always got to push it, right? So we just go by events and announcements.
Okay.
And then, yeah, but to be honest, for the most part, all of our social channels and everything we do, we're very, very, I wouldn't say we're aggressive, but we're very, very focused, and the biggest focus is to build our email newsletter database. And we've built that this time last year, dude, it was at around 2,000. We've got it to, you know, 105,000 almost. So
yeah, that's incredible growth. That's great.
Yeah, that is a big focus of ours, to be honest, because that way when someone joins our community, like, you know, we can speak to them and let them know what we're all about, and through like an autoresponder. Or a drip feed campaign, and then obviously, you know, we email our newsletter community every week about a new podcast episode, when a new magazine issue goes live, and then also when a new blog post goes live, and this is all every single week, so you know, people can hop on board and find out what's happening from all of those channels, like you said.
I want to ask you a little bit about social media specifically, because I know I've seen you do quite a bit with Instagram, and it sounds like you're making kind of a name for yourself as somebody that's had really good success with Instagram. Is that your probably your top social media platform that generates the most results, or is that?
Yeah, most definitely. Like, dude, we've built that from zero to 400,000.
Yeah, that's
in
incredible.
11 months. So here's funny thing is, I launched the podcast just before I started doing stuff on Instagram.
Okay.
So you can see the momentum you can build with things if you're just super consistent. And yeah, look, dude, that's been a big driver on growth of our email newsletter. We can drive anywhere between like all the way up to 30,000 opt-ins now a month, depending how hard we push. So, and when I say opt-ins, that's email opt-ins,
right,
for your audience. So yeah, that's been a massive channel. That's one of our best forms of customer acquisition, not just from building our email newsletter database, but everything, dude. Like, I try and post about the podcast once a week, and every single time I post about the podcast, I see a spike in our downloads on Libsyn. You know, we get an extra couple of thousand listeners. You know, also, whenever I post about a lead magnet or a special guide or something, I always see a spike in the amount of signups that we get, email signups from Infusionsoft. And then also, you know, when a new magazine issue goes live, when I post about it on Instagram, I always see a spike in downloads and sales. So yeah, look, it's just such an amazing platform. I think it's very powerful.
Yeah, I think what you've done on Instagram is amazing. I've watched that, and I've downloaded your free ebook giveaway, which is great. And so I'm on your list.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. Are you using most of your outreach channels, like social media, to build your email list more, or is that a bigger focus than getting them to download the podcast or download the magazine? Do you want them on the email list more than anything else because you know that leads to the others? Okay.
Yes. However, please do know that the promotion of our podcast, the promotion of our magazine and stuff, all that's automated, dude.
Okay.
Through tools. And yeah, look, but for the most part, yeah, our biggest focus is to build a business, and one of the biggest ways to build that business is through email list. So that's what I'm very focused on.
Yeah, I don't want to take too much time on this next question, but how many people do you have helping you? I know you have a designer, which does fantastic work.
Oh, thank you.
Do you have administrative assistants or social media help, or how many people are you do you have helping you execute all these things?
We have quite a few contractors that we work with. We have at least 10 to 15 contract writers. We have an editor who helps with the magazine and also our blog content. Then we have a full-time content. So our editor's part-time. Obviously, our writers are all freelancers, just contracting. Editor's working this book part-time. And we've got a full-time content crafter who's with me on the ground. Writers all around the world. Tate, our editor, is in the States, in Boston, works with part-time. We've got a part-time virtual assistant in the Philippines, Cherry. We've got Angela, who's a full-time virtual assistant in the Philippines as well. Then we have, who else? That's about it. Oh, then we have like our designer in India, Karan. Then we have his contract, obviously a freelancer. Then we have Ballas, our AV editor, who's freelancer contract as well. We are scaling up the team, though. Like, I do plan to make a few more full-time hires, at least one more in the next 3 to 4 months, and that'll probably be someone that does community management. But I definitely need some more help very soon.
Yeah, that's great. So I imagine it takes a lot of your time just to manage all those different moving pieces from all those different people.
Yeah, definitely, dude. I think, like, what I'm trying to do at the moment is build up those assets, like those parts of the business, so they run themselves without me. And that just comes down to empowering our team members, having solid documentation and stuff like that. And it's getting to a point now, I can confidently say, where, you know, I could take holidays for a couple of months. As like, you know, as long as I've done the interviews, things should work pretty smoothly. The only things that wouldn't work is all the emails that I get around amazing opportunities and stuff.
Right, right.
Where I kind of need to make some decisions, or I need to, you know, drive that. Because we've got some really cool things happening, like partnerships, business deals, you name it. You know, just those big things to move the needle forward and grow the business. But yeah, the day-to-day operations, you know, monthly magazine, podcast, blog content, social content, all that stuff could operate without me.
Yeah, that's
pretty
great.
Cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's a good place to be in. So it sounds like you do like to listen to other podcasts. Is there a particular podcast that stands out as being one of the most remarkable ones that you listen to?
Yeah. Foundation by Kevin Rose. You know that one?
I don't, but I'm going to have to add it to my list now.
A lot of people don't. So it's funny. The way I see this kind of entrepreneurial world, or this community, or this big startup scene or entrepreneurial scene online, is it's separated into two parts. And I don't know if you know this, Dave, but this is the way I see it. It's separated into two parts. There's the startup people and the founders that are really hardcore, and they love everything that comes out of San Fran, and they're all about building their startup, and they follow podcasts like The Foundation, the Foundation is by a guy called Kevin Rose. He's a very, very successful entrepreneur based out of San Fran, and you know, he interviews people like Elon Musk and you know, the founder of Twitter, you know, Jack Dorsey, or Evan Williams, or the founder of Instagram. And, you know, he's heavily entrenched in the startup scene. So there's people out there that are really passionate about the startup scene, and they only, like, they might follow a little bit of internet marketing or online entrepreneurial stuff, but not that much. So, you know, in my world, someone like Kevin Rose and Elon Musk, these guys are absolute superstars that I look up to. And I'm sure everyone looks up to Elon Musk, but someone like Kevin Rose, he's best friends with Tim Ferriss, right? But
yeah,
Tim is in the other side of the coin, or both sides of that table, where he serves like a big part of his audience is the online entrepreneurs. And they're the, you know, the bloggers and the podcasters. And there is definite overlap, but there's two divides I see it as, two strong divides. And we try and service both. And, you know, someone like Kevin Rose, you probably wouldn't have heard of, which is because you're probably more around that online entrepreneurship space. But you would have heard Tim Ferriss, you would have heard Pat Flynn, you know what I mean? You would have heard Chris Ducker, you would have heard John Lee Dumas. And those guys are kind of like the leaders in the online entrepreneurial space, online marketing space. You would have heard Frank Kern, you know? So there's a few different clusters. I'm very passionate about the startup space, and don't get me wrong, we interview people from all of those different sectors and areas and clusters, and then also don't even know if clusters is the right word, but just those communities,
sure.
Or influences in those communities, and
I like that perspective, and I can see that for sure. Any parting tips for our listeners about as they're working on their podcast and standing out and being remarkable and doing something different? Anything that you've learned? Any advice that you would give?
Yeah, I think the podcast space is very. There's a lot of podcasts now, you know.
Yeah,
there's a lot of
definitely.
People trying to create podcasts, and I think you have to find a way, like you said, to be remarkable, would be to stand out. Whether that's to get hard to reach interviews. Hard to reach guests, whether that's you do long form on a certain niche topic, or whether that's, you know, just editing the absolute crap out of your podcast episode, like how Meron would say, it's like what you keep, you know, it's all about, you know, what you remove, and he's very savage on editing his stuff and tries to get it down to only the best stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think you just have to find out a way to do cool stuff for your audience that they're going to appreciate, and just got to find a way to be a little different, you know? I think that's really, really important.
That's great. Well, anywhere that you would particularly like people to go to find out more about you, either to the podcast, the website, where should I send people?
Oh, yeah. Please, if you'd like to find out more about us, go to foundermag.com, foundermag.com.
That's great. I'll include that in some of the other things that you've mentioned in the show notes. Nathan, I really appreciate your time. I know you're busy. You've got a lot going on. I admire what you're doing, and I just encourage you to keep going, man. You're doing great stuff.
Oh, thank you so much, Dave. The pleasure is all mine. I really appreciate your time, too. Look, like I said, I don't rate the word busy. We're all busy, man. We all got a lot going on. I'm sure you're very busy, too, and you have a lot of things going on, so I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me and having me on your show.
Yeah, no, thank you, and maybe we can do it again one day.
Yeah, most definitely, anytime.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Remarkable, part of the Super Simple Podcast Network. As always, I appreciate you joining me and taking time to listen today, and I hope you took away some tips you can use to grow your podcast or your audience. You can find my notes, relevant links, and a full transcript at supersimple.com/Nathan. That's supersimple.com/NATHAN. This episode of Remarkable is sponsored by OnePriceTaxes.com. Life is full of surprises. Filing your taxes shouldn't be. OnePrice Taxes has been making online tax filing easy, accurate, and affordable since 2007. State returns are included for free, and unlike other online tax filing sites, there are no hidden fees guaranteed. When you visit OnePriceTaxes.com today, use code REMARKABLE to save 10% when you check out. Our theme music was composed by Julio Gonzalez at Zymer. Zymer, or Remix spelled backwards, offers sound design and audio post-production for podcasts, video, audiobooks, game apps, and radio. Learn more or contact them today at Zymer.co. That's Zymer.co. Mention that you heard them here on the Remarkable Podcast and save 50% off of any of their services. And if you'd like additional marketing resources, early access to my free podcast marketing course, and to be notified when I release future episodes, head on over to theremarkablepodcast.com. That's it. Thanks again for listening to Remarkable.